Thank you for doing this today. Absolutely, absolutely.
There's so nice to meet you.
Yes, good to meet you. And.
Yes.
I really like to hear, she wants that she's coming, she's reminding you.
All right, Jeff, are you ready?
Good morning, everyone. My name is Jeff Cohen, I'm the CEO of Klein Gallen, and I am so pleased to welcome everyone here to the Mary Schwartz Summit, which is part of the Klein Gallen organization. And a little bit about Klein Gallen, we've been around a little bit. Since 1914, we've been serving patients and residents in the Puget Sound area. Today we serve thousands of residents and patients every year with a comprehensive suite of services, which includes the largest skilled nursing facility in the state of Washington, the largest rehab in the state of Washington. We have independent and assisted living here at the Mary Schwartz Summit, and we deliver a host of at-home services through our Boundary Community Services, which includes hospice, home health, and home care. Here's where we are in our country. 11,000 seniors are turning 65 every single day. In Washington, we are projecting that 1 in 5 people will be over 65 by the year 2030. The demand for services to meet the needs of seniors with high quality care will continue to increase. I've been in healthcare over 30 years, and the thing that keeps myself up at night, the thing that keeps our board up at night, and we have two of our board chairs here, our past chair, Irene Fisher, and our present chair, Bob Simon, along with our staff, the thing that keeps us up at night is rising healthcare costs. The cost of healthcare and who's going to pay for it is going to be the number one domestic policy issue over the next 30 years. So anything that can be done to lower the cost of healthcare for organizations, patients, and residents is extremely valuable to providing affordability, accessibility, and a sustainable quality of care for our healthcare system for our aging population. We're so grateful that Senator Murray is prioritizing the issue of lowering the cost of pharmaceutical drugs and is bringing a real result that will have a positive impact on our seniors in a tangible and direct way. We're so honored to have Senator Murray as a partner for providers and seniors, and we're so glad that she's here with us today. It is my pleasure to introduce the wonderful, honorable Senator Patty Murray. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for Mary Schwartz Summit for having us here today to talk about an issue that I deeply care about, and I know you and all of your residents and all seniors, everyone cares about, and that is the price of prescription drug. And I'm here with some really exciting news, and that is that this is an issue that affects everyone, and we will hear from all of our speakers today about how it impacts them. The price of drugs is prohibitive for many people. They cut their drugs in half, they share them with other people, they go without, and it's impacting their pocketbooks and their health. Well, we know this, and it's something we've been focused on for a long time, and when the Senate and House passed and the President signed into law the Inflation Reduction Act, we took some major steps to lower the cost of prescription drug. Some of them have already gone into effect. This year, Medicare patients' out-of-pocket costs has been capped at $2,000 annually. I am hearing from a lot of seniors what a difference this makes when all of a sudden they can get their prescriptions at no cost because they've hit that cap. We also permanently capped insulin at $35 a month. We'll hear about that today for people on Medicare. We still need to do it for everyone. I'm focused on getting that done in Congress, but that has made a huge difference for our seniors. And we're talking today about the provision we passed that allows Medicare for the first time ever to negotiate drug prices with the prescription drug companies. We passed that in the Inflation Reduction Act, and Medicare is announcing this month, just did, the first 10 prescription drugs that now have been negotiated, and those on Medicare, seniors on Medicare, as of January, we'll start seeing a huge reduction in cost for those 10 specific drugs. This is going to make a huge difference. In fact, 9 of the 10 drugs, seniors will see their costs cut in half. And this is just the first year. They're continuing to negotiate, and the law requires them to do 10 more in the following year. But this is the first time seniors will see that reduction, and it is going to make a huge difference. These are drugs that a lot of seniors know that deal with diabetes or heart disease, arthritis. Many of the drugs are commonly used by seniors, and those reductions are going to make a huge difference for out-of-pocket for seniors. And by the way, it saves the government a lot of money too, because our costs for Medicare will go down dramatically. So I am very excited about this, and I'm here today to talk to some of you who are being impacted by this, and most importantly, letting people know this is happening, because seniors will see the results of this very soon, and we want them to know it's going to make a difference in their lives. So Jeff, thank you so much for hosting us here. Thank you to all of you for being here to talk about this today, and let me turn it over to Judy.
Good afternoon. Not yet. Good morning. I feel so honored to be here, and I appreciate me having the invitation. My name is Judith Friedman. I migrated from New Jersey to wonderful, wonderful Washington. And one of the reasons, one of the main reasons certainly that many of us are here is because some family is here, that they have gotten here much earlier than we did. But coming here, not only did I get much better weather, you have not appreciated weather until you've done hot and humid in New Jersey. I am grateful to be one of the, I've got the number, citizens of Washington. As of the 2020 census, 7,705,281 and rising. It's a large population here. And it has been important here for me, particularly in terms of health care. And that was another reason that I came to this area and certainly to this, to the Mary Schwartz Summit. At the Mary Schwartz Summit, the population here is essentially for over 65. Well, over 75. Well, think about over 85. We've been here a while. This is a long-standing institution, and we have been aging, and as a result of some of the better health care, we've been aging very gracefully. We have a couple of people here who are over 100 and independently living, which is absolutely amazing to all of us. Also, as a result of the better health care, but in this population, there are many people here who are on a fixed income. At the summit, I have been very fortunate in having been elected to the chair of the Independent Living Resident Council. And as a result of that honor, I managed to speak to so many residents who will come up and ask for a variety of things from the ridiculous, not fair, but that's how it appears to be every now and again, saying the grapes are not ripe, to the sublime of saying, what I would like to contribute $5 million, where do I go? So anyhow, this, as a result of this, of being the chair, as I say, I meet many people, but in addition, I visit many apartments. And it is amazing to me that I walk in, and generally there's a kitchen there. And there is a shelf, and there is a myriad of bottles and vials and things, and I am awed and amazed and agape. It's amazing to me to see this. And then, as is usual with people my age, I'll make a trip to the bathroom. And there, on this shelf, is also the same amount of all of these prescription drugs. And I try to look at the names of them, and I realize that they are prescription drugs. ability, if they do, to manage the cost of these drugs. So what happens is, and I guess among a society generally, they make a choice. And here, I'd say the population is such that they're not making a choice between, am I going to have dinner or am I going to have my insulin? They make a choice of life enrichment. Will I be able to go to a movie? Can I afford that $10, $12 or whatever it is? Or should I put that aside? So it becomes really a major issue for those of us on a fixed income, regardless of what that level is like. The whole population here deeply, deeply is in gratitude of what is happening in this state health-wise. And as you're bringing up additional stuff, it's amazing to us that you have the ability and the skills to negotiate with insurance policies. That's amazing, Senator. Lots of luck with that. Because if you've done it individually, it doesn't work. But you have the stature and the skills to do it. So we rely on you for that sort of thing. The price of insulin, we know, has now been capped, and I am so grateful for that, because I am involved with that very personally. I have a son. My son Jay is diabetic and has been so for over 20 years. His ability to have gainful employment has been greatly reduced as a result of it, and there's one instance where he spent a great deal of time learning how to drive these long distance trucks that go from here to back to New Jersey. And he got this license and he went to get a job. These are, what do they call them, 18-wheelers. And it takes a great deal of skill. And he has this skill. He was all excited that he would be able to drive this truck. But somewhere in the little print, which he did not read, it said, a diabetic person is not allowed to drive these trucks. And so that was the end of that career, very depressing. And then, but he was able to do some part-time work until 2 or 3 years ago, when unfortunately he had an amputation of a leg, which really diminished employment issues tremendously. But the other thing that was the issue was the price of insulin. He was, early on, I think it was, some of it sometimes was over $100 a shot. Unbelievable, because this was a daily shot for which he did not have the funds at all. But now we have somebody who is in a seat of both influence and power. And I say influence and power because chair of the Appropriations Committee, that's a big deal. And member of Health and Education, well, that's a pair that you just cannot beat. So we are so grateful to you, so grateful that you are doing the tough negotiations, that you are standing up in the Senate, that you are representing us, and it is with great pleasure that I am here to be able to say thank you personally.
Thank you.
Hi. I'm Tina Goshen. I'm the program manager for Type 1 United, and I just want to say thank you personally and just for all of the parents of kids with Type 1 and sons and daughters of parents with diabetes, whether it be type 1 or type 2. The name is different, the complications and the need for insulin is really the same. So thank you for this opportunity to talk. Super excited about the Inflation Reduction Act and the $2,000 cap for those on Medicare. I think that is a tremendous victory for all of our seniors and everybody who's going to grow to become a senior. Because I think that that cap makes a huge difference. And it's super exciting to see so many of the drugs, the top 10 drugs that have been negotiated so far, so many of them have to do with caring for people with diabetes. I mean, diabetes affects, one, people who are insulin dependent, type 1 diabetes, they can't live without insulin, but also they need those drugs that affect heart health and kidney health, and so many of those drugs are on that top list, and so I'm super grateful to see those on there because so many people I love will be seniors soon, and all the people I love will one day be seniors, and so I know that having those things negotiated and reducing those costs will benefit them. Type 1 United is an organization, a nonprofit organization here in Western Washington, and we host overnight sleepaway camps for kids with type 1 diabetes. We also have family camps where the entire family comes because diabetes is a family disease, to be honest with you. It's the whole family's involved when you've got children with type 1. We also have an adult retreat because when you have insulin and the drugs you need, you get to grow up and become an adult with diabetes. So I think that's fantastic. And when I say that diabetes is a family disease, I know that very personally because I have 3 children with type 1 diabetes. My youngest was diagnosed when he was only 2, and he almost died because I didn't know kids could get diabetes. And I just would explain away all the little symptoms of excessive thirst, excessive urination, extreme moodiness and hungry. Oh, it's terrible twos, and he's potty training. But he almost died. And then my 2 other children were diagnosed 2 years later and 4 years later, all when they were under 13 years of age. So we have been living with diabetes in our family for 17 years with no history prior. All of my kids are young adults now. My daughter's gonna get married in 12 days. Super exciting. And she's gainfully employed and has the availability of insurance, although I've encouraged her to stay on ours since we're paying the deductibles right now and they're young people just starting their lives out. My 2 boys, thankfully, are able to stay on our insurance until they're 26, which is a huge weight taken off of a parent who was raising kids with type 1 and wondering how are they going to be able to afford. And I know how difficult it is for young people to be able to afford insulin because every single week I get calls, texts, and emails from our volunteers that come and are counselors at camp, medical staff at camp. They are running desperately low on insulin and they just can't pay that copay right now. They just can't. Some of them are uninsured or underinsured and they just don't have that hundreds of dollars to get that vial of insulin. And so within the diabetes community, I'm very well connected, obviously, throughout the area, so I can hopefully, you know, find, like, hey, does anybody have an extra vial of Humalog or Novolog or Viasp or any of the insulins to try to help coordinate the young people who donate their own time and energy to camp to stay alive. Because while the seniors here, Judith, thank you for sharing, by the way, that was so moving. But the seniors here, thankfully, they're not choosing between whether or not they're going to eat dinner or pay car insurance versus buying their insulin. They're choosing maybe a movie or maybe that trip to Arizona or whatever it is. Like, they're making those choices. People with type 1 diabetes who are underinsured, who aren't on Medicare yet, they haven't aged into that system yet, they are making choices of whether or not they're going to eat, whether or not they're going to pay their electric bill or buy their car insurance. They are afraid to try to change jobs, even if their work-life balance is awful, because they can't afford to be without insurance. So they can't change that job because they can't change that insurance. And parents, too, of the kids who come to our camps, you'll have parents who do not have a good work-life balance, but they are stuck in a job because if they leave that job to pursue a passion or to be more available for their kids or family, they lose that insurance, and without the insurance, their kids can't stay alive. So it's really, there are people out there making choices to not eat, not pay for car insurance, whatever it is that they can afford insulin. or they're driving to Canada. Thankfully, we live in Washington State, and Canada's just a few hours north of us, and I know a number of people who drive up to Canada, walk into a pharmacy, and pay $25 a vial, where here that same vial is $400. So that's just, you know, and not to diminish people with diabetes. Diabetes does not diminish the person. I just want to make sure I throw that out there, because while there are complications and while living with diabetes, you make an average of about 180 additional decisions a day to stay alive, as long as you have that insulin. We also have a Supreme Court justice who has type 1 diabetes. We have professional athletes and government representatives, poets, Olympians. There's really nothing that somebody with diabetes, type 1 or type 2, can't do so long as they have the insulin that is needed to stay alive.
Thank you.
That's all I got. Thank you.
Thank you, Tina. Thank you, Senator, for having me, and Jeff for hosting. Your stories are so compelling, and I appreciate them so much. I'm Priya Helwig. I'm the Acting Regional Director for the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and my job really is to be the eyes and ears of the Secretary on the ground here in Washington. And we know that to create and foster change, we need to hear stories from people, from Americans who are dealing with these things on an everyday basis. And it's incredibly important for me to hear and important for me to tell my boss in DC. The regional staff is here really to ensure that Secretary Becerra hears what's happening in Washington and that these things remain part of the North Star that guide our agency and all of the work we do. I have to say I'm touched by the personal story. I have a young nephew who was diagnosed at about 5 years old, and I get the same thing, excessive drinking, lots of water, didn't know what was happening. Who knew that he could be diagnosed so early? He's turning 18 this year. I know, but he lives in Canada. He lives in Toronto, and it's not a worry for him. We want to change that. The administration, the Biden-Harris administration, has made expanding access and lower costs for healthcare for American families are a top priority, and we've hit a lot of milestones. Enrollment in health coverage has reached record numbers this year, and we're strengthening the Medicare program thanks to the tireless efforts of legislators like Senator Murray. The Inflation Reduction Act that only passed 2 years ago is one of the most consequential health care laws since the Affordable Care Act, which added the ability for people 26 years old to stay on their folks' insurance, which was huge. The Inflation Reduction Act has significantly impacted delivered low healthcare costs for better benefits for more Americans. And more people qualify for enhanced subsidies, which resulted in the 21 million people enrolled this year. So that's just record-breaking, and we're so happy for that. But again, a lot more to be done. Lowering prescription drug costs and making health care more affordable for seniors with disabilities is top priority, and I think it's worth repeating several of the things here. The insulin cap, it's great for Medicare. We want to make it more, but we should have that 28,000 Medicare enrollees in Washington State. They who do use insulin will have that savings, and they should save about $600 a year. But again, Medicare beneficiaries. As we begin the fall weather, we're all looking for ways to prevent getting sick, and part of the law too is preventive vaccines for adults who have Medicare prescription drug coverage. They will be able to get those at no cost, including COVID, RSV, and shingles, which is pretty significant savings since shingles can cost up to a couple hundred dollars. The law provides a more generous low-income subsidy to expand financial protections for low-income seniors. This is the extra help program, and I just like to mention it because the folks who are eligible, there's
they will, they're eligible for the benefit right now to pay no premiums or deductibles, but we also estimate there's about 3 million more who are not enrolled in the program who really could benefit from that program. So there's a lot, and as we're talking about here today, after decades of trying to give Medicare the authority to negotiate prescription drug prices, we are here. We're finally starting that, and under Secretary Biden's leadership, Secretary Becerra began the historic process of negotiating, and last month the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services published the new prices for the 10 drugs selected that will go into effect in 2026, and this means lower prices for some of the most expensive and the most utilized medications. It does, as the Senator mentioned, it cuts costs for medications around heart disease, blood clots, diabetes, cancer, anywhere from 40% to 80%. It's pretty significant overall. That's a $6 million savings for Americans. $6 billion. $6 billion savings for Americans. $1.5 billion in out-of-pocket savings for seniors seniors and people with disabilities. So that's out-of-pocket in 2026. And for the 300,000 Washingtonians who have Medicare Part D, they can expect a $7 million savings. So not insignificant, but it definitely impacts everyone. Whether you take one of the negotiated drugs or not, I think the most important thing to remember is that this law protects all Medicare beneficiaries from the extreme costs and the high financial burden of prescription drugs. We've heard from patients that the status quo of healthcare is untenable. And we have heard, obviously, stories about folks who are foregoing food or other costs for medication. We've heard from advocates that folks with disabilities can be left in financial ruin for just trying to access care that makes their lives better. But we want to go further. We want people to have enriched lives, not just balance, counting dollars. We want them to be enriched. We want the choices to be, should I go to a movie or, I play with my grandkids or go travel. For enrollees like those who take specific drugs, like cancer medication, there did not used to be a cap on how much they had to pay out of pocket. They could pay up to about $16,000 a year for prescription drugs. And this is, I don't know many people who can afford that readily, and especially seniors on a fixed income. So the $2,000 cap is monumental. And that begins in January. It's just incredibly important. Right now it's a $3,500 cap this year. But next year, the $2,000 cap, it's a really big deal. It's vital for peace of mind and financial security. And there's more than 1 million Washingtonians who have Medicare now and are now protected by this. Seniors and those with disability deserve more affordable quality care and to still have savings at the end. Family members and community members deserve to know their loved ones can access care and live with dignity. But we also always have an eye to making the program more sustainable, because a more sustainable program means that it provides the same level of security for our children and grandchildren as it does today for our seniors, our grandparents, and our parents. So cost-saving measures shore up the program. So whether you have a stake in this directly or indirectly, keep in mind that the safeguards are there and that this program, we're looking at it for the thank you so much, and with that, I'd like to turn it back to the Senator.
All right. Well, thank you all very much. I mean, as you can see, we are making progress. We have more work to do. We need to cap that insulin for everybody. We need to continue to negotiate more drug prices as we go, but we are making progress, and I'm excited for seniors to be able to see the difference in their pocketbooks very soon on this. So with that, let me open up if there's any questions.
Do we have any questions from press? Okay. If no questions from press, we're just going to pull away for a moment for some polling. Olympia, and that'll conclude today's event.
Thank you to everyone. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
One press question.
Sure.
To Senator Murray, and we presume that the Biden and possibly soon Harris administration are on board with what you all are trying to achieve. Do you feel that the adversary, the Republican Party, is on board with any of your ideas, or, and if not, is there a way to reach them? It seems like it's a human concern.
Well, the provisions that we talked about today, capping insulin at $35 a month, the $2,000 cap a year, and the negotiated drug prices, were all part of the Inflation Reduction Act. It was passed by Democrats only, and it is part of what Republicans in their, 2025 plan, want to repeal. So yes, there is a huge difference in how we perceive what needs to be done. We are confident that as we continue to move forward and people see the results of this, we will keep this in place and keep it going